Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Welcome to the Disciple Making Leaders Podcast. My name is Glenn Underhill, and I am excited as we continue a conversation that we had on our last episode, our last podcast, on this whole idea of this fight right. It's really addressing a critical issue that ministry leaders and church leaders, all of us, address at some point, maybe a lot, in this area of how do we address conflict. But before we kind of engage in more conversation with this, just want to make a quick introduction of myself. My name is Glenn Underhill. I am the host of our podcast, but I'm also the pastor of spiritual development at Cross Creek Church, as well as a trainer and coach for Disciple First Ministries. And Disciple First Ministries, which is really the catalyst for this podcast, is really an organization built around the idea of helping to empower church ministry leaders to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. So we're really talking about things that really can help the church be mobilized and empowered to ignite movements of multiplication. So obviously, conflict can actually be a deterrent, can it, Pastor Craig?
Yes, it certainly can.
to igniting a movement of multiplication.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of friends here in studio with me. We have Pastor Craig, who many of you already know. As we talk about this in this episode, you might give a quick, introduction as we're running into these great conversations. And then I have with me also, we also have Dr. Riley, who's a great friend of our ministry, as well as a member of our church here at Cross Creek Church, and a licensed therapist, a really, really great expert in this area of conflict. And so we're so excited to have you again back on, that you came back even on top of that.
Is even right, better. In the studio, awesome. Ready to go.
Second time. I didn't get in any conflict.
That's right, second time
that's
through.
Good.
So we appreciate that. So we spent our last podcast looking at this idea that conflict is inevitable. We can't just dismiss it and hope it goes away, but we have to address it. But really, at the bottom line, the goal of any conflict resolution is really this idea of reconciliation.
Yes.
And if we're really going to get to the heart of reconciliation, if that's really the goal, really the win, then we can't just skip to facts and try to address it through facts. But we've really got to start with the heart, with the emotion side of this. And we kind of gave a pathway in our last episode saying, hey, look, you got to hear them out. You've really got to empathize well. Then you have to really, really, really be sincere in your apology. And then sometimes you're going to have to repeat, because it's not all going to take the first time through, and especially if it's a really difficult conflict. And then you have to, after those steps have been repeated or moved forward, you can start to think about transitions for solutions. So in this podcast, we're going to really tackle now this getting into what we would call the head, or really to the facts. So now we can start moving to the facts in order that we can really ultimately bring about great reconciliation. So glad you guys are here, because you're going to do a whole lot more talking than I will ever do, because you really are great influencers on this subject, and that's why we have you here. So let's just dive in, because we have a lot of things to cover here today. So let's just talk about when we think about this idea of really tackling the head, and really this depends on like hard facts, critical thinking, brainstorming, and really getting down to getting some very strong clarity. And I even would like to say that the aim is not so much to persuade or to win, but really is to provide a is to provide accurate information and insight so that the other person may not have. So we can, again, get to this idea of reconciliation. So let's start here. What really stands out to you as we kind of move into this idea of the head? Where are we going to want to start with on this piece?
You know, Glenn, when I'm thinking about here, this is where we initially want to get to. We want to start with the head. We want to start with facts. We want to problem solve. Let's just do this really quick. Do this in 30 seconds. We can problem solve this and move on. And that's not really how it works. You have to do that back work of talking to the heart, speaking to the heart, de-escalating, empathizing, admitting where you've offended, and really repeating that process, as you said. That's really the hard work of it. And we said in the last podcast, sometimes the solution just becomes quite apparent or right off the bat. And praise God for that. If that's the case, then you just move forward. But sometimes it's not so much the case. Sometimes it's much more complicated than that. And so that's where you need to shift into this transition into more problem solving together, that you're working together collaboratively to try to come up with solutions, that you have to realize that you may not have the full solution. You know, a lot of times I go in and go, well, of course I know what the solution is. Well, I don't realize that this other person brings solutions to the table as well that may be much better than mine, or ours together actually are better. And so you kind of attack the problem, so to speak, as a team, saying, okay, here's the problem sitting over here, and you and I are going to work together to try to find creative solutions to do that. And so maybe transitioning from the heart to the head, you might say something like, you know, you can tell they're really open, you've really connected, there's some sense of a resolution to this angst between you in that regard, and you feel the freedom to move forward, to talk now to the head, you might say something like, you know, while we were talking, you know, it just made me think maybe we should work on this together, and let's come up with some great solutions to this so we don't keep running in the same problem over and over and over. Would you be willing to do that? And or some type of transition that engages now their mind and their brain to think through solutions. Dr. Riley, have you found some good ways to make that transition?
I think one of the best ways to make that transition is to Philippians 2, right? To consider the other person as more important than yourself, right? Because we were just talking that, you know, you have your own ideas.
Right.
About how you think this could be solved, but the other person does too. And so at this point, this is the time to say, you know, I've had some thoughts about, I've been thinking about what we can do to resolve this or move forward, but I really want to hear from you first. I want to know what you're thinking, you know, and what information, I mean, phrase it that, you know, coldly or whatever, but, you know, kind of what do you see is the problem, and what do you need me to know about that I probably don't know about, so that we can begin to collaborate together to resolve this?
Yeah. You know, sometimes when we're thinking about problem solving, we have to think about facts, thoughts, and feelings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the facts are in dispute, sometimes they're not.
Right.
You know, you said that. Well, I didn't say that. That mm-hmm. could be a fact in dispute. But there are times when I did that, you and I both know these are the facts, mm-hmm. but how you see those facts and how I see those facts are very different.
Interpretation, the meaning of them.
Right. What we think is going on, what is the motive behind them, we may be in dispute about, and then those lead to feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, if I show up late, that may be a fact, all mm-hmm. right? But Liz interprets that, me showing up late, as, well, I didn't care.
That's right.
About being home on time, right. Because she had that planned out, and therefore she feels very offended mm-hmm. and very dishonored because of that. When
right.
I may not attach that same thought or mm-hmm. motive to it.
Right.
And I think everybody's been in a conversation where they said, well, you just meant blah, blah, blah. You know, and we're attributing mm-hmm. motive
yeah.
to a person that we perceive is the case, but may or may not be the case. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. We want to demonize the other person, you know, for some reason, you know, because of how we're feeling. Mm-hmm. We assign some negative character trait to them that probably isn't true, at least not all the time. So, you know, we end up character assassinating them,
right,
you know, in our mind. So we need to, that's what I'm saying, step back. Let's consider the other person as more important than ourselves in this moment, a person who has genuine thoughts and feelings and opinions and ideas, and they're worth hearing.
Yes, absolutely. I remember being in a group with several couples, and this guy was doing a marriage retreat, and he was talking about the link of facts and thoughts and how we can attribute motive to these facts, and then these bring out feelings. And he had said, I want to demonstrate this. So you have a couple that has an issue you want to talk about. And, of course, there's like 20 or 30 people there. That's pretty vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But this one couple said, yeah, we've got one. And so the lady stood up first. She said, you know, my husband is he's got a job working for this company. He travels 5 days a week. Mm. And so he travels to all these fancy hotels, and he goes and does all these, you know, plays golf with his clients, and he goes to movies and shows with them and does all these great parties. And meanwhile, I'm at home with our three kids doing all the laundry, doing all the homework, doing all this kind of thing. And she said, I think he's glad to get out of here and just have a ball and do, you know, live his fancy life. And I think he dreads coming back home, and here we are, you know, slugging out life, you know, while he's living it. And I'm feeling very resentful. So she sits down. I've of course shortened it, but every woman is burning a hole in this guy. I mean, they're looking at him like, you are the dirtiest dog ever, you know? And I know he's feeling that. Mm-hmm. And then he stands up and he goes, well, tell us about it. He goes, yeah, the facts are true. I'm travel 5 days a week. I go to these places. My wife has to do all this stuff. And he said, but you know what? Being in a hotel room by yourself is some of the loneliest place I've ever been. Mm-hmm. He said, I hate being gone. I hate being away from my family. I feel like I'm distant from my wife. I'm distant from my kids.
Yeah.
And he said, I just feel like a failure. Mm. But he said, I can't get out of it because I make good money.
Yeah.
And if I quit my job, then what am I family going to do? So I feel totally stuck. Yeah. And it was interesting in watching that, the whole room pivoted to see this from a totally different perspective.
Right.
And so it's not always just the one way you see it.
That's right.
And it was like she began to, maybe this is the first time he'd ever articulated that for her, that how he was seeing this. And they were then able, once they kind of got the facts and the thoughts and the feelings opened, they were able to say, well, she said, I would be willing to take half the pay to have you at home.
Right.
He's like, really? We give up the car or move out into a different, yes, whatever it took. And so now you can almost watch them starting to problem solve in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, why did it take them so long to get to this? Is this common?
They got to shift their view of one another. Yeah. When I work with couples, we always focus on that negative conflict cycle, you know, because it changes our view of one another. It can only, the negative cycle can only give you one view of a person, and that's a negative view. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have a positive view and be stuck in this negative cycle. But once you can begin to shift that view, because you're now open to hearing what their experience is, that you know, you're faced with the facts in a sense of, okay, I thought you were this, but now you're showing me this. You got to figure out, well, you're not this. You're this, or you're something in the middle there. So it totally shifts us away from that negative view. So now we're more open to hear about their experience and, you know, what drives them, what motivates them. We're more willing to work together to come up with ways that we can change, you know, this thing that is keeping us apart.
I think sometimes when I'm dealing with a couple, once we kind of work through the heart issues, we'll draw a little circle, we'll do facts and then thoughts and then feelings and talk about that. And that's very helpful exercise.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking from a leader standpoint, kind of when you start pivoting to the head, you might talk about the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And are we clear on the facts? I mean, are we in agreement to the facts?
How do you see me? You know, I want to know how you see me. How do you see me? How do you see the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I was going to interject for just a second is that I think sometimes we can make some really false assumptions.
That's right.
Time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just even when we have facts in front of us,
right,
because we don't truly understand or give that person the opportunity to give some clarity, mm-hmm. we make assumptions by what we just see on the paper, the facts. And sometimes those assumptions can lead us down in a wrong direction.
Right. Yeah.
So it's important to get clarity on those facts so that we can get to the thoughts and the feelings in a really positive way.
Yeah, we're so quick to attribute ill motive mm-hmm. to someone.
Yeah.
Well, they just did this because da-da-da. Well, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. Did they tell you that? Or are you just assuming you're projecting that on them? Mm-hmm. And that may be true, but it may not be true.
That's right.
And so when you're talking to the head, you're really thinking about the facts, thoughts, and feelings here. What are we clear on the facts? Let's unearth these motives that we attribute to one another. And let's see, maybe we're seeing this completely differently.
Right.
And maybe it's not as sinister as you would expect mm-hmm. or as intentional as you'd expect. Or they did that on purpose to try to, well, maybe they didn't, you know, then we can address that. And if they did, then we'll address that then too.
Yeah.
But that's all part of the problem solving strategy, is thinking these elements through.
Right.
Yeah. And if you don't, it can definitely get you going not in the direction that you want to head. So when we really do think about the head, we really are thinking about these three trains of thoughts of, hey, we want to make sure we have we're agreed upon the facts and we've got clarity behind that we're the same with our thoughts and our feelings, because that will give us, you know, some really good working points in order for us to get to these steps to really begin to see reconciliation really happen at a great level. Yeah. So before we tackle the next piece of this, so we've looked at the heart, we've looked at the head. I want to just for us take a quick moment and have a commercial break.
Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points. Also, a roadmap for sustained health and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching.
All right. Well, welcome back to our podcast, and so glad you're on this with us today. And we are, again, we're talking about this idea of conflict resolution. We just looked at this idea that as we move from the heart and we move to the head, we've talked about this idea of really getting a really good read on the facts, thoughts, and feelings. But now, as we kind of turn our attention to the next piece of this fight right piece, is this idea of, hey, we got to speak to the hands.
Yes.
What do we mean by speaking to the hands? Because I'm sure our listeners are like, what in the world are you trying to communicate?
Yeah,
like
right.
Like those hand puppets.
Yeah, it's like the hand puppets. That's right. You know, when you think about the heart, it's your emotion. When you think about your head, it's your logic and problem solving, that sort of thing. When you think about the hands, think about what your hands are holding, okay, or grasping at. In one hand, you have what you want for yourself in this situation. What do you want for yourself? And then in your other hand, you're saying, what do you want for the relationship? What do you want for us? And those are two different things. And I think somewhere along the way in reconciliation, you have to come to a statement saying, what do you want? What do you want to happen? And there may be multiple wants. You know, there may be, I want this, I want this, I want this. Sometimes people will come in super hot and right? They're demanding all these things that you must do, or I'm calling a lawyer, or whatever the case may be. If you've done your work of opening the heart and you're empathizing, you're de-escalating, all this kind of thing. So hopefully when you get to this point, these are not just threats. These are genuine wants that they want for themselves. And then secondly, what do you want for us in the relationship? And I think just clarifying what do you want is really, really important. I remember being sitting in a conflict with a guy that was he was in HR, in a very high position, an HR international company, and this other person that had an angst. I was just watching them talk through this. And the HR friend, he just said, "What is it that you want?" And I just thought that was a simple question, but it was a really good question to make him stop and think, well, I know I'm mad, I know I'm upset, but what am I actually asking for? And then you can share what you want for yourself and what you want for us together in our relationship. And when you can find where your wants align, where we want the same thing, then there's opportunity for reconciliation. I think a lot of times we think that our wants are always across the table and they're always irreconcilable, but that's not always the case. You know, a lot of times I want peace. Well, I want peace too. You know, I want our relationship to be right. I want that too. You know, I don't want this thing to happen again. Well, I don't want that either. The times when you can say, "Hey, we're in agreement on what we want," then you're now creating this pathway to reconciliation, maybe creating a recipe, if you will, for reconciliation. Yeah. Dr. Riley, do you see that? Or how do you help couples deal with that?
Right. A lot of the things that I'm always a little bit surprised, I shouldn't be at this point in my life, but, you know, it always kind of surprises me whenever I've helped a couple work through and get to being able to talk to one another from their heart, you know, and share what they really need. They need the same thing. Mm. They almost always wind up, you know, wanting and needing the same thing. But they, because of the negative cycle, the conflict cycle, they're not able to communicate that so that they're heard and understood,
right. You
know. So it's always a little bit surprising to me that to hear, oh, wait, you guys both want the same thing. You both need the same thing from one another, but there's something that blocks us from being able to give that to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, I would just say, Glenn, as we're thinking about, you know, you've already done the heart work, you've already done the head work, now you're just getting down to how do we actually resolve this? What do you want? Now, what do you do when something they want is not something the other person can give?
Right.
How do you deal with that?
That is hard. That is hard. Because I think, well, one of the things I try to distinguish is between want and need, because want can be, I want a new car, you know. Well, I can't buy you a new car, you know. Well, but what do you need? Because that probably is something, what does a new car mean to you? It means I'm cared about. Ah, okay. Now I can maybe give you something that helps you feel cared about, but isn't maybe something I can't afford, right? Mm-hmm. But I can do something that helps you feel cared about. So I think I like to distinguish between want and need, because sometimes wants can be selfish, you know. I think that when we're getting down to reconciling conflict, we're going to discover they're not selfish wants. They're just things that we want in order to make the relationship work better. And they might be different things. And I think that's when a real important conversation has to take place. And the other person has to say, you know what? I hear that you want that. I'm not sure if I can give that to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see if I can find a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you said about why do you want that?
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast, and the man was a negotiator, and he was actually there at Camp David when Israel and Egypt were in a strong negotiation. Oh. He helped foster this negotiation, and part of it had to do with the Sinai Peninsula that Israel had taken, and Egypt wanted it back. And so they were, this was very tenuous, and they were back and forth. And basically what they said is, you know, we want that property back. But for Egypt, it was, we want this because historically this has been our property. We have sovereignty. This is part of our sovereignty right. as a nation. Israel didn't want them to have it back because they wanted security.
Yeah.
And so they were saying, okay, is there a possible way that you can maintain sovereignty and you could be secure at the same time? And so they created an option of a kind of a demilitarized zone there that provided Israel what they needed and also Egypt what they needed.
Right.
And they created an alliance that still has held up.
Held today.
Till today. Mm-hmm. And so you asked them what they wanted, they were on two different sides. They were not able to get to that. But when they asked, why do you want that?
Mm-hmm.
Then they were able to deal with those things in a way that they could find agreement. So I think that's really important, not only to ask, what do you want? And it may be as simple as, hey, I want this, and okay, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get to an impasse, well, I can't do that. Let's talk about why you want that. Mm-hmm. What's really the motive behind that? What's really the need that you're seeking to meet from this want? And then trying to find creative ways that you can meet that need.
Yeah, it makes me think about this idea that you're helping to move this reconciliation part down the line by saying, hey, I didn't come in here for a win-lose situation, but for a win-win.
Yeah.
And that's, in order for real reconciliation to happen, would you agree that it has to be a win? You have to have somewhat of a win-win.
Both have to feel like they win.
Win, right. Mm-hmm. And because if you come, because when you get to this impasse, it's probably because it's like, I want this, as you're saying, or I want this.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to that win-win, there has to be, we have to figure out that why. And then look and see if we can come to a common thread. Because when you identify these common wants, I think it really creates a roadmap for true reconciliation to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So we've talked about the heart of dealing with conflict, and we go from the heart to the head, which is about your facts and the thoughts and feelings, to then moving to the hands, which is really this idea of how do we really get to what we really want.
That's
and
right.
How can we create a win-win in this situation where we've creating a roadmap for reconciliation. And this last piece of conflict is to really, you know, fighting right is really speak to the feet.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing all the body parts here. We're doing heart, head, hands, feet, right? But, you know, the reason why we wrote it like that is because that can be actually something you can think about in the midst of a conflict.
Remember it.
You can remember it. Mm-hmm. You can say, okay, we went from heart, we got to do to head. We think about that. Now we're going to say, what do you want? You're thinking about my hands grabbing for things. I'm wanting something. And then feet has to do with what steps are you willing to take now?
Mm.
Right.
To put this into action.
So is there a question then that's critical to ask?
Yeah, so there's really two questions. If you think about it, you have 2 feet, so you have 2 questions. Just like 2 hands, what do I want? What do I want for us? Mm. The feet have 2 questions, and that is, what steps are you willing to take to resolve this issue? And that's really for both people to say, what steps am I willing to take to resolve this? What steps are you willing to take? So now everybody has got some steps that they are going to take in resolving this problem. So that's the one step. And then the second one is, what steps are you willing to take to restore the relationship and really to make this relationship great? So one, it has to do with, you know, the problem at hand, and other has to do with the relationship ongoing from here.
Mm-hmm.
And what steps are you willing to take? You know, if somebody says, well, I'm not willing to do anything, you know, it's all going to be on you. Well, that's not a recipe for reconciliation. We all have to contribute to this. So what steps are you willing to take? What steps am I willing to take? And this moves us to action, not just what I want, but now what I'm willing to do. And again, this may come very quickly, may come very rapidly, or it may take some time to really work things through. But obviously, identifying what you are willing to do is essential to having reconciliation. Because if you leave a meeting and nobody knows what they're going to do any different, then
it's going to happen again.
It's totally going to happen again.
Absolutely.
And we don't want that to happen. So what are you willing to do moving forward that will bring resolution to this?
Mm. Any clarifying thoughts on that, Dr. Riley? Because from a therapist point of view, when you think about this, because
sometimes blocks come up here.
The rubber meets the road.
Right, yeah.
Because if you've got one party,
everything else just kind of been talking, you know, but now I actually have to do something, and people can get blocked up right here. Mm-hmm. In therapy, what we do is we say, good, a block. Blocks tell us we're on the right path. Blocks tell us that we're getting to what's really sometimes the deeper issue. If we haven't fleshed it out, you know, it'll come forward because blocks have a reason for being there. They're ways of protecting someone. And so they can actually serve to uncover maybe something that is still not really resolved or restored, you know, in the relationship. And this person is now sort of afraid to take this step because, this might end up not working so well for me. You know, maybe they've agreed to everything and then suddenly it becomes real, you know. So now it's like, little fear kicks in and says, well, if you really do this, if you really take these steps, then, you know, you might come out on the losing end somehow. So a lot of times, this is sometimes where blocks will come up. So lean into the block.
That's a good point to say that if you feel like there's a block there, you feel like I'm not willing to do that. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're able. This is actually a good thing that you're on the right track.
Yeah. Get curious about it.
You would think the opposite. Well, if I'm running into a block, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong place. I'm on the wrong track. But actually, this is one of these key pieces that's keeping you from reconciliation.
Right.
So let's really press into that and take as many steps. Maybe, you know, we talked about steps. What steps? But maybe they're baby steps.
Right.
Maybe they're not just huge leaps. Maybe they're just a little baby step.
That's right.
That you can trust and see if that other person is trustworthy. They're going to take their steps too.
Right.
You know, sometimes they don't have to be huge leaps. They can be small leaps. And let's just show each other that we can rebuild trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I trust that you'll take your step? Okay, I'll take mine. And then we can start building some trust with one another.
Yeah. Trust is destroyed so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to rebuild. And it's not just enough, well, I'm sorry, I won't ever do that again. You know, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if you don't do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to watch. We're going to watch and see what changes are being made. And that's a good point to say here that if there has been trust that's been shattered, you have to rebuild it by what you do, not just by what you say.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And these steps are good ways to show, you know, a good faith. And to show that you really are pursuing the end goal of reconciliation.
Yeah. And I think with that, all of that said, you know, I think we go back to this idea that at the core of any conflict, the thing that will ultimately bring healing to deep hurt is this idea of true forgiveness. On both parties.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in order to get to that level of true forgiveness, which is ultimately what leads towards reconciliation, right? Because you even think about the gospel, right? I mean, that's exactly what the gospel does, right? It is at the core of forgiveness is really at the core of the gospel. You know, we've got to really lean towards that. And to get there, it requires us to start with the head, or I'm sorry, to start with the heart and then move to the head, and then from the head to the hands, and then from the hands to the feet. Dr. Riley, maybe you can address this as we kind of wind this down. But again, if you get to this place with the feet and we just can't move forward? Is it that I start all the way back
at the heart level?
And yeah. Because maybe I've hit a roadblock yeah. or a block, and in order to really tackle that, I'm going to have yeah. to start back all the way. And so what do you do in a situation like that? You say, well, hey, let's get this first issue addressed, and then we'll move to that? Or do you say, well, then let's tackle that and move to the – I mean –
Well, what I do in therapy is I say, okay, stop. We've hit a block. And I will say to someone, okay, I can see that this is hard for you, that you're scared, you know, because fear always blocks us. And if I can slow it down and really kind of just sort of work through what that fear is, I can uncover what the block is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean then they're willing, you know, to let go of the block, but just them becoming aware of it. Mm-hmm. Again, that awareness of, you know, what am I really entering into? Mm-hmm. And with this forgiveness piece, that's huge, you know, because if I forgive, that means maybe this person can do this to me again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, we equate that with forgiveness with somehow giving them some permission, you know, to do this again. So if that's the block, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's find that out, you know. Often say that forgiveness is, there's two levels of forgiveness. There's the forgiving what was done, you know, the offense. And then there's forgiving the impact or the damage that was done by that offense. Mm-hmm. We have to do both. We have to forgive both. That forgiving the damage, forgiving the impact is much harder. That takes more time. And sometimes that stops people from reconciling fully.
Yeah, that's so good. And just as you both were talking, it made me realize that, you know, we never come into a conflict and it's only this one thing. You know, we all are bringing other right. stuff to it, right?
Exactly.
Things that relate to you, things that don't even have anything to do with you, but somebody else that offended me, and so I'm bringing that to mm-hmm. the table. Mm-hmm. And so that's what makes these things complex, is you're not, it would be great if you could just parse out and only deal with one issue at a time.
Right.
But all these things are kind of flowing together.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes as you hit a block, maybe in some area, maybe it's not in the feet part, maybe it's in the hands part or wherever, you're realizing you're kind of stumping on another issue
yeah.
that we haven't really even addressed yet,
mm-hmm.
or something that happened a long time ago, or something that you're dealing with from some other offense from another person.
Yeah.
And so it's good to realize that, yeah, maybe we have to work through those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to acknowledge them and give the desire to want to work through them. And again, when you talk about all of this, you go, oh, you guys are making this so complex. You know, good grief. You know, is it really all this hard? Sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what we're saying is, from a personal standpoint, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
This is what it looks like.
It matters.
Yeah, this yeah. is what it looks like to, as much as it depends on you, live at peace.
Yeah.
This is what that looks like.
Right.
But from a leadership standpoint, it's also worth it, because as a leader, you bring moral integrity and moral authority with you when you love people well and you work through reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't do that, then you lose some of that moral authority to lead.
That's right.
Because people go, well, I don't know that I can trust that person.
Mm-hmm. I heard someone say once, unity is not the absence of conflict.
That's right.
Yeah, that's really
that's right.
And if, you know, if we serve the body of Jesus long enough, we all know that it's inevitable. It's mm-hmm. going to come. It's going to happen. But how we resolve that conflict really does matter for the sake of unity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for the sake of the church and its mission in the world. And mm-hmm. I think in some ways it's probably what has unfortunately been a detriment to some extent in the church,
right?
Has been this idea of not being able to genuinely, biblically resolve conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do. I think that as you see how Jesus resolved conflict and de-escalated mm-hmm. situations and went from the heart to the head to the hands and to the feet, it really brought a sense of unity to the mission and vision, for sure.
You know, Glenn, I would also just add, just thinking about conflicts that have, you know, in our own church and things that we work through, just like any other church. Don't be afraid to involve others in the process.
That's right.
A lot of times we may go, man, this is, I'm not sure that I'm getting this right. I don't know if I'm on the right track here. Mm-hmm. To involve other people. I mean, we see this throughout Scripture, and I think that it's a biblical principle that through community that we can do this.
That's right.
And so maybe inviting other trusted leaders into the conversation, inviting other people that mm-hmm. can give other perspective so that you're doing your best to do that. And I'm just thinking about that as leaders are hearing this podcast. You may be right in the middle of some big conflict and you've got angst boiling and you've got situation on your staff or situation with a key leader in your church. And this thing can go sideways really and have this wake effect of damage throughout the congregation. So we can't ignore that. But if you feel like, man, I just don't know that I feel a little over my head in this situation, to bring some trusted leaders into it. You're showing that you value that person. You really want to do this right when you encourage other people to speak into it. Maybe you have a counselor like we have with Dr. Riley, you know, here, or a godly pastor that is that has no dog in the fight, so to speak, but just wants to bring wisdom. But I think within the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom in that. And I just give that encouragement.
Yeah. Well, thank you, both of you, for your time, your heart in this area that I think is so important to the life of any leader, any person, right, is resolving conflict well. And I think Jesus gave an incredibly great strategy for it. I think he was very real and realistic about the fact that it has to be addressed and taken care of and then given.
Absolutely.
Gave us a great strategy for doing it and a great example and model for doing that. So again, thank you for your time. And for those of you who've been on our podcast today, thank you for taking the time. And I hope that this podcast has been helpful. This episode has really helped encourage you and inspire you to finding some real solution for really resolving conflict well. And just a reminder, you can go on to our show notes and go to that link and you can get a free ebook called Fight Right. And it is packed full of a lot of things that we've talked about, even more than what we've even talked about on today's episode and on our last episode. And I think you'll find it to be a very helpful free resource as you're really working through this. Because as leaders, it's just inevitable. We will face conflict, but there is a way through that. And Jesus has provided and equipped us with everything we need to do that well. So continue to do what you do well as leaders and continue to lead Jesus's church to the way he wanted it, and that's to be being and making disciples just like him. So God bless and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.